The anonymous landlord is more than just making profit from property. It's a system of automation and a strategy which will shape the way you invest in property forever. It's a quality of life, it's a way of life, it's a business mindset. The anonymous landlord will make loads of money from property and continue to grow wealth and assets without giving up time or energy or life. Because what's the point in making a load of money from property if you've got no time or energy to enjoy it? My name's Tom Sohn, and this is The Anonymous Landlord. Hi, this is Tom Sohn, and welcome to another episode of The Anonymous Landlord. And today, it's a big win for my podcast and for me, because I'm joined by two very rare and very special guests. Now, Antoine and Karen, who I'm joined with today, are real-life property investors that actually invest in other people's property deals, meaning they're the ones that come up with the cash for you to be able to buy a property investment deal. Now, these guys don't stand around on street corners waiting for you to approach them. They don't carry big banners that say, hey, I've got loads of money and I'd like to make you richer. So the reason why this is such a special episode is because these guys don't come out and do interviews. So today we're going to go through a load of strategies and hints and tips and advice on how you can find property investors and how you can raise finance for your property deals. So I am very, very pleased to be able to introduce to you Antoine and Karen from Quality Investor Pax. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm so proud that you've joined us.
Yeah, thank you for having us. And it's actually our first podcast ever. So thank you for making it happen for us.
Wow. So we have a world exclusive as well. I love it. Thank you so much. So look, let's start off by getting a bit of a background story to you guys. If you don't mind just telling me how you got started in property, what inspired you to get into property, and what, yeah, we'll talk about the transition into funding a bit later, but what got you started in property? Who inspired you? What inspired you?
Well, so what got me into property was the fact that I wanted to get out of the rat race, very simply. I was working an office job, you know, 9 to 5, and I looked at my life ahead and saw the next 30 years being the same and thought, no, that's not for me. And I wanted something else that I could do. So I came across a property education course that affiliated themselves with the book Rich Dad Poor Dad. That was a book that I had read many years ago and really enjoyed. And I thought, you know, let me take a chance and see what this is all about. So that was in 2014. I went to property school. I did my first project the following year. That was my very own. So I was actively investing in property. And that was when I realized that it wasn't for me. I didn't really enjoy being hands-on. And I started looking for hands-off property opportunities. And the year after that, in 2016, I did my first JV as a passive investor. And I found that to my liking. So ever since then, I've been actively looking for property investment opportunities as a passive investor.
And so 2016 is also when Karen and I met, and that's how I discovered property through Karen, and we started looking for investment opportunities together since then.
Fantastic. Go on, Antoine. I remember you told me before that you were from investment banking.
That's right, yeah. So I worked in banking for about 11 years. So I was your typical cash-rich, time-poor individual. So on the weekdays, you know, I would leave home before 6 in the morning and I would get back at 7 p.m. Every night. So, you know, it didn't leave me with much time to do very much in terms of property investing. And on the weekends, I was too busy catching up on sleep or chores. So, yeah, it didn't really work. Which is why about a year and a half ago, I decided to leave banking to focus on property investing full time.
It seems to be, that's my ideal route as well. At the moment, I'm doing the actual hands-on property investing. I then have moved into halfway. So I'm investing in out of areas where I've got good teams, but I'm still doing the deals. I'm still monitoring, supervising, managing. So my goal is to be where you are eventually. That'd be fantastic. But I want to ask you, how did you move from doing that invest? Not so much why did you move, but how did you move? How did you go and find those property investors that had property deals and opportunities? How did you start investing? Let's talk some real life stories, can we?
So we started, I started at networking events. So I was actively networking, you know, even before I was looking for investment opportunities, purely because, you know, property is a people's business and you always need to meet others to kind of help you with your journey. So along the way, you know, I realized that if I wanted to transition to be a passive investor, you know, this room is full of property investors and developers looking for money. So it would be a good place to start. So I started silently observing the people in the room, you know, to kind of see what they said, you know, how they behave, you know, who I might want to work with. And I would then approach them on the back of that to start a conversation, you know, to have the coffees as you do in property to get to know one another better. I mean, that approach worked to a certain extent. You know, there are only so many people you can speak to at a networking event. So I found that that had its limitations. And in order to kind of give us more opportunities, we had to get comfortable with being more open about the fact that we were actively looking for opportunities. So our approach changed over time as we realized what we needed. And we started telling others in the room that we were private investors looking for opportunities. And if you knew of anyone, you know, please do connect us. We find that people in property are generally very helpful. So if you tell them what you're looking for and they know someone, they're willing to connect you. The downside of that approach meant that we became inundated with connections. You know, oh, I know so-and-so looking for an investor. So would you like to have a word with him or people just connect you? And we suddenly had all these new connections to deal with. And as you'll find out maybe a little bit later, the journey hasn't been as smooth as we had hoped, because with these introductions would come, you know, all forms of communication, you know, be it text or email, and information would come piecemeal to us. And it was very difficult to build a complete picture of whether this was someone that we would want to do business with.
Yeah, I can relate to that. And you know, that's a bit of a problem in this industry and probably many industries, isn't it? Where there are people that would look to exploit and pull the wool over your eyes and manipulate. There are obviously some very honest and decent property investors and property developers out there too. So, okay, well, let's flip the tables. So how, let's put this from the property investor or the developer's perspective. How would you suggest that a developer comes and finds you?
So networking events are probably not the best place to go, because there are going to be a lot of people like yourself, a lot of people looking for money. So if you want to target people who've got money to spend, you probably have to first ask your network, family, friends, work colleagues. And if you don't have you know, enough potential, enough investor potential within that close network, then you can expand and start promoting your business on social media and try reaching out to other people. Another way to reach out to investors quite easily is to use crowdfunding as well. So you use the power of the crowd and the power of the crowdfunding platforms to extend and expand your reach and get in touch with more people.
Thank you. And yeah, do you know what? I speak to a lot of people in property and everybody says the same thing. You've got to talk to people, first of all. You'll never get anywhere or learn anything unless you actually talk to people and listen to people. So I appreciate you saying that. And it's funny enough, I interviewed Samuel Leeds the other week. I don't know if you've heard of Samuel Leeds. But he's a very controversial character. Some people love him, some people hate him. But he did actually come out with a really good quote. If you want, the first thing you've got to do if you want to invest in property is tell the world that you want to invest in property. And I think that's what you've just said is kind of similar to that, isn't it?
Exactly the same. And as Karen was saying just earlier, you know, we had to do the same. So whether you are looking for money or whether you have money to invest in other people's projects, unless other people know about it, no one is going to approach you, because they're not going to guess. They're not going to assume that you have money or that you're looking for money. So yeah, it starts by putting yourself out there and just telling people what you're looking for, what it is you're looking for, and how you can help them.
Yeah, really good point. And look, before I get into, like I say, I've got a real life property deal I want to just say to you and see what your thoughts are on it. Not for me. I'm not asking you for investment here. I've actually bought this one myself, but it's a real life case of a property that I'm investing in. So here we go. Let me throw some numbers at you. So this is a 3-bedroom house. It's in the Northeast, and it's a purchase price of £75,000. The refurbishment cost, which includes a contingency. So I always allow a 10% contingency for refurbishment in case anything goes wrong. The refurbishment cost is up to £20,000. And stamp duty and fees are going to be somewhere around the 5K mark. The GDV, or gross development value, or what I call the job done value, what's it worth when it's all finished, is 135K. So it's a nice, simple, round calculation there. In my mind, that looks like I'm going to spend 100K and it's going to be worth 135. Now, I would probably buy, refurbish and refinance that one because I can get all that money back out, move on to the next. But it depends on, for me, it depends on the types of tenant, the types of area, the growth demand in that area, the appreciation levels in that area, because I may well do generate a better yield by immediately releasing my cash back out by selling it and have that 35 grand in my pocket. And if that generates a better yield, then I'll do that. But if I pitched that to you, first of all, what do you think about that pitch that I just made to you? And second of all, what would you do differently if you were any other investor to try and win an investor's heart and mind?
I'm just going to quickly say that the first thing that I would recommend people do is don't lead with the deal. The numbers are very attractive, as you've just laid out, but ultimately property is a people's business. So it's about making the connection with that person and having that person understand what it is you stand for, what your business does. And it's only at that point would you bring out the numbers that you kind of know are already going to be good. Otherwise, you wouldn't be having that conversation. So that would be the first thing I would say.
That's really good advice. Really good advice.
So our approach is to ignore any deal, any live deal that's out there when we start talking to someone. It's really, we wanna assess whether someone is investable and credible enough for us to have a conversation about deals at a later stage. So it's about who you are, what you do, what your experience is first before talking about a live project, a live raise, and working together. For that particular project that you told us about, it would kind of depend on how you want to structure it. So how are you planning to work with investors on this one? Do you want them to provide you with a loan? And for instance, you could offer them a first charge security in exchange for the loan. Or do you want them to be a joint venture partner and have an equity shareholding, an equity stake in the project? But based on either, and depending on what your exit strategy is, it may look like a reasonably healthy deal to get involved in.
I mean, that's really good advice. And you might not, you probably talk about this every day. So to you, this probably is just normal advice, everyday stuff. But to the general property investor who maybe invests in one or two property deals a year, just to try and make a bit of extra money, a bit of extra income, this sort of stuff is gold dust. And I'll tell you why. I purposely presented that property to you and I went straight in on the figures purposely, because if you go through any property investment group on Facebook, anywhere where there's property sourcing agents, deal packages, or anyone like that who finds a property deal, the first thing they do is they go straight in and say, I've got this deal, it's 10% yield, it's this much money, it's this much profit, this much everything. And you've hit the nail on the head. Well, who are you? Yes. So great advice. And do you come across a lot of people like that?
Yeah, and I've often wondered how many of them actually get funding on the back of a Facebook post or a LinkedIn post going, you know, give me some money. I am very curious about that. So, you know, if you know of any success stories, we'd love to hear them.
Well, I've never done it. And weirdly enough, I'm similar boat to you in that I've got some, I fund some properties myself. I've got investment partners for other, I do joint ventures. I do outright private investor and whatever. I'd love to get into private investing myself when I've built up enough of a pot. But the way I've won an investor, so to speak, is that I got to know them, they got to know me. I found out what they're interested in, how much involvement they want, what sort of money they're looking for in return. They get to know me, what sort of property deals I like and don't like. And why am I a good investment? You know, all right, I'm a bit different because I've got an estate agent, I've got a letting agent, I'm an investor myself, and so on. I've got a podcast. I mean, you know, who could not trust someone with a podcast, right? But but there are people who don't have all that, that have just found, I'll give you a prime example. Someone phoned me through the podcast. They heard the podcast. They phoned me and they said, one of my family members has to sell a retail unit with a residential unit on top. They've offered it to me for a really good price, but I haven't got any money. What can I do? And it's people like that that would have no clue about how to come and find partners like yourselves or other partners to fund in that. And it's those people that you're giving that advice to. Go and mingle and network and talk, get to know people. But that takes time, right?
Absolutely. And I think the example you just used is actually perfect, because one of the questions we get very often is, what comes first? Or do you have to wait until you have a deal to start looking for investors? And the answer is absolutely not. You want to start looking for investors and building your investor base as soon as possible, so that when you have a deal that comes your way, you are ready and you've got investors lined up and you can run that deal past them and get the funding that you need.
Yeah, really good answer. Thank you very much for that. And look, I really want to get into investor packs in a minute. And for anyone who doesn't know what investor packs are, it is the pack that you present to an investor which outlines the deal or the opportunity that you don't want that investor to miss out on. So we're going to go through that. That's probably one of the most important components of this whole thing. But before I do, let's look at another scenario here. There's now a different level of property investor. So we've been through the lowest level, I'll say lowest, the most basic levels, where someone just comes across a property investment opportunity and doesn't have any money. Next level is somebody who goes out to find property investment deals. So there are the next level of property investors are the ones that are offered a lot of property deals that they can't buy them all. So they tend to buy some of them and then offer the property deals to other investors in return for an introduction fee. But, and I get that a lot myself, and I can't buy them all. So if I decided, no, I'm going to buy them all, I just need a good funding partner with me. What advice would you give someone like me who has multiple property opportunities and wants to buy them all?
So property investing is getting your power team right and getting the right team around you to help you deliver on the project. So I think the first question I would ask that person, and I would encourage them to ask themselves, is how many deals can you actually take on? And how many deals can you actually manage at the same time? Or how many deals do you want to manage in a year? How many deals do you want to complete in a year? Once you've set that target, you know roughly the kind of resources, financial resources that you're going to need. And then if you manage to secure that source of funding that allows you to do all the deals that you can and want to do, then you've got your power team ready and you can take them on. And you can be picky if you got loads of opportunities coming your way. But yeah, there are typically two issues that property investors and developers face. It's either the lack of money or the lack of deals. And yeah, if you got all the deals that you want in the world, then you only need to secure the money to be able to take them on.
Yeah, great answer. And do you know what is funny, isn't it? Because this whole area of property investing is fascinating to me. So you know what? I could probably let this podcast last for hours, but I'm going to move on to you guys now. And we talked a little bit just then about investment packs and investor packs. So first of all, talk to us about your business that you've also created. So you do your property investing, But you've also created a side business as well. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so while looking for investment opportunities, you know, as Karen was saying earlier, we realized that it was quite challenging to find suitable candidates, so suitable property investors and developers for us to work with. The biggest issue being communication. So not getting the information we wanted to be able to do our due diligence on them. So we had a number of property investors and developers come to us and offer us investment opportunities. And every time we would turn down an investment opportunity, we would give feedback. So feedback on the opportunity itself or on the documentation on the investor pack that was used to promote the investment opportunity. So it started by being quite informal. So just people wanted to work with us and we were giving them feedback, you know, what you could do to improve your investor pack and to attract investors. And you know, gradually over time, it turned into a consultancy service. We were encouraged to put a presentation together and that was in early May. And yeah, since then, you know, it's picked up speed and interest from a number of people.
That's good for you. And I guess it's kind of killing two birds with one stone, isn't it? Because you've launched a little business that you can make money from, but you're also being introduced to property developers and investors that have deals.
Exactly. And you know, it started with a pain point from us. What was the issue on our side and how that impacted a number of property investors and developers? Because a lot of people just don't know how to do it. You know, exactly as you were saying earlier, their background is maybe in, you know, in the building industry or it's, you know, anything else, but they don't know how to talk the language of investors like us. And that's absolutely essential if you want to attract people to you and if you want to get the funding.
Yeah, really good point. Really good point. So, okay, so you've got, so you now have a business which helps people create investor packs and trains people on how to win investors, so to speak, as like a consultancy type business, training type business, and so on. Oh, we should name drop it. Let's name drop it.
Well, the name is, it doesn't take rocket science to guess it. It's Quality Investor Packs. And it pretty much does what it says on the tin. You know, we help you develop and create or improve to have your very own quality investor pack.
Awesome. Okay. So I'm going to get some contact information a bit later. But now let's talk about the property deals themselves. Have you found it difficult in the current climate to pick up good property deals or good property investor partners to work with?
I think there's been a lot of activity in the property market, but not necessarily a lot of attention paid to the downside risk on a number of deals. So we've seen a number of highly optimistic investment opportunities in the recent past. And that's probably one of the things that we see, one of the mistakes that we see quite often is that people only focus on the positives and don't look at the downside risk and don't you know, fill investors with confidence about how they would manage challenges and issues that would come their way.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And you know, I hear that too. In people tend to just forget the downside because they're blinded by the upside and, oh, we're going to make £50,000 profit here in 6 months. Yay. But we are in a lockdown. We've got Brexit. We got, you know, anyway, we could go on for hours about that. But yeah, really good advice. And what sort of, I was interested actually to find out what sort of perception people have of you when they find out that you are a silent investor, private investor, funder type person. What do they, people think of that?
I don't know. They haven't been brave enough to tell us to our face what they really think of us.
I think there's a number of them just don't know how to approach us. And, you know, we're going back to learning how to speak the language of investors like us. I think a number of people just don't know. And some people are quite uncomfortable with money. So when it comes to asking people to invest in their projects, they don't know how to ask. They don't know what to say. And that's where having a good investor pack is worth a lot, because your investor pack is going to do a lot of the talking for you. So you don't actually have to spend hours on the phone with someone if your investor bank is there providing you with all the answers.
I agree. Go on, Karen.
I was going to say the other thing about having a good investor pack means that you can repurpose it for all the different investors that you speak to, because you would find that most investors tend to ask the same questions. You're covering the same topics, you know, about your business, your project. If you have it all in your investor pack ready to go, that saves you a lot of time, and time is a precious commodity. You can, you know, reuse your investor pack over and over with all these different people to get them to different stages of relationships before you then have that conversation to build that like and trust factor.
Yeah, good point. And what about those? So talking about the questions that investors might ask, what would you say, except for who are you, what do you do, and what's your background? And the deal itself, what would you say are the most common questions that investors would ask of a property deal?
So one of our personal favorites is, what is your business continuity plan? We find that that's something that not many think about, or some investors do think about it, but they fail to put it in their investor pack. So it's kind of, you know, lying around somewhere scribbled on a piece of paper or at the back of their mind. As a hands-off passive investor, you know, I am very curious about your thoughts and your plans on what would happen if you were, say, hit by a bus tomorrow. What happens to the project that we have invested in? What happens to your property business? You know, we want to know that you have thought about this ahead of time and you've put a plan in place so that we are not scrambling around trying to figure something out when the project is under pressure and perhaps, you know, you are not conscious. That makes it quite difficult for a discussion.
And people don't think of that. I guess you could quite comfortably say, "Oh, you can just take a charge on the property," but they're forgetting about the entire project, getting it to the level that it's worth something to you as the investor as well. It's the same in business, isn't it? If you've got a business partner, you grow a business, but my business partner gets hit by a bus, or who takes over his role? I'm not doing it. Couldn't think of anything worse. But yeah, no, really good points. And I was actually going to come back to what do people think of private property investors. And I'll tell you, actually, people think they see pound signs. When they think of you, they see pound signs. And that clouds judgment. They're clouded with emotion on that, because they see a future in you. They see, oh, I could make 50 grand. That can provide me this for my kids and that for my life and this car and that holiday. So they see you as that. But you made a point earlier on about, well, you know, it's about networking with people. You're just human beings. It just so happens that you've been a bit smarter with your money than other people. And it's simple. Now you want to reinvest it. So I'm actually taking over here, sorry. But my advice to anybody who's looking for private investors is treat them like people, because that's all they are. They're just general people who just want to be smart with their money, just like rich dad, poor dad. Well, just like rich dad, really.
Yeah, it's, you know, you have to treat them as your business partners. The same way you need a builder, you need an architect, you may need a planning consultant, you're going to need a funding partner as well. And the beauty of modern finance is you have a lot of different options. You can get bank finance, you can go on crowdfunding platform, and you can use private investors' money as well to top it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And look, I was going to ask you to feel free to be as open as you want here. But what sort of profit margins would you expect a private investor to make on a standard residential property deal? And I don't need to pry into your own private dealings or matters, but what would you expect would be a good guide for somebody to calculate with?
So I think that there are really two very different types of investments that private investors are going to be interested in. Option one is they're going to want to build a portfolio for themselves. So they're going to be out there looking to buy properties and keep them in their own name. For that, it kind of depends on where you want to invest or where you're comfortable investing and the sort of returns that you can get there, how much leverage you want to have as well as an investor. So that's option one. Option two, which is what we do, is we help property investors and developers get their projects off the ground by investing typically for a short period of time, so 12 to 18 months in that project. So it's typically in the form of a secured loan or an equity investment in a project. And so depending on the level of risk and the level of security that we get, the returns can vary quite greatly. But if we're looking at a secured loan with a first charge security, we'd be looking in the range, I mean, in the region of 10%. And if we want an equity investment, we'd be looking at 20% plus. And all of that would be annualized returns.
Yeah, very clear answer. Thank you. And it's about right. And I think if you're, and the reason I wanted to ask you that is because if there's a property investor who's looking for deals or who has found a deal that needs funding, then there's obvious calculations to be made ahead of time. And I see quite often people forget to include costs of borrowing over time as well. They think, right, I'll take a bridging loan. That's going to cost me $2,000 to arrange, and then it's going to cost me $5,000 in interest. But then what happens if you've got that bridging loan for 14, 15, 16 months? You've got to make those monthly payments, and that's going to cost you. But people forget about those things. And then they forget you've got to turn it into a standard mortgage at some point, and that's also going to cost you money, but they forget those things too. So that's a really good guide, I think. 10%, yep, seems about right for a standard residential. So I want to talk about investor packs, quality investor packs, which is your business, because I think that a lot of my listeners will be really keen to engage with you on that, and will get a lot of value from it. I'm going to engage with you, and you heard this here first. I'm going to engage with you on this for two reasons. First of all, for myself, I'm really interested in what you do for my own benefit in as a property investor. But secondly, I think that I'm going to engage with you so that I can share some knowledge and insights better in my podcast if I have all angles of information. So let's talk about quality investor packs. Tell me a bit about where you support people, how you support people, what your offerings and services are.
Right. So, you know, firstly, as we've already talked about, you know, it is important to have a good investor pack. If you are not already convinced, you know, think about how many people out there are looking for funding at present, and having the best investor pack possible could make all the difference. You only get one chance at making a good first impression. So why not maximize your chances with the best quality investor pack that you could have? Something you need to bear in mind as well is in every investor pack, you know, each piece of information in there is designed to convey a crucial bit of information to the investor. It is not about just filling the pack up with various images and words, as we have sometimes seen. So you need to be careful with what you're putting in there. There needs to be a good balance of words and images as well to appeal to a wider audience. And this is something that we can help with. So quality investor pack in particular, we came up with a structure that is not an all-in-one investor pack that we typically see being thrown around. Our quality investor pack is broken down into four separate documents. And the reason for this is we want to mirror what it's like to build a relationship with someone. So you would start off by sending out only just a little bit of information, because that's what you do when you meet someone. You have a quick 5-minute conversation and you kind of suss out if you want to learn more about the person. Only if you get the positive, you know, affirmation and they say, yes, you know, I would like to learn more, do you then send the next bit of the investor pack? So it's done over stages. You know, you're more likely to hold the investor's attention that way than if you were to lob a 20, 30 page document over a you know, after a short conversation and say, you know, have a read of this, tell me what you think. It is quite important that you make sure your investor pack is structured in the right way. Is there anything you would like to add?
Yeah, so in terms of services, we do live workshops. We have a home study course, and we also work with our clients on a one-to-one basis, depending on what their needs are. So yeah, whatever it is that you need, the best thing to do is reach out to us, and we'll have a chat, and we can discuss what your needs are and see how and if we can help you deliver what you're trying to achieve.
Thank you. And I've got one more question for you actually about goals. But before I do that, could you share with my following and me the best way to contact you?
Yeah, best way to contact us is to go on our website. So it's www.qualityinvestorpacks.com. So qualityinvestorpacks.com. Just go on the website. And there's a free template that you can download and loads of ways to reach out to us as well and book a call with us.
If you do want to reach out to Antoine or Karen and Quality Investor Packs, then make sure you let them know that you listened to the podcast, because as with any good business, they need to know where their marketing is working. And so it would just do them a favor if you could tell them, yeah, I listened to the Anonymous Landlord podcast. But look, I just wanted to find out very last, as a finishing point, what are your goals?
Our goals are, well, our goals a couple of years ago were to be fully invested and leave off passive income from our property investments. That didn't happen because, as we said earlier, it's been quite challenging to find the people, like the right people to work with and invest with. But our goals are very much the same. And along the way, we're really enjoying helping people to put together quality investor packs that get them the funding that they need. It's something that we really enjoy doing. So we very much want to continue doing that and at the same time find investment opportunities for us to invest our money.
Fantastic. Do you know what? The geek inside me, the property geek inside me, would love to just carry on talking about this, but we're going to wrap the interview up there. But I would love it if we could do a follow-up interview and maybe talk through some of the real-life stories that you might have had. We don't need to mention any names or anything like that. Would you be up for that?
Absolutely. You've got plenty of stories, good ones and bad ones.
All right. Perfect. Well, I'm really up for that. But for the time being, I'm just going to end this interview by saying thank you so much to Antoine and Karen for joining me. This is a rare opportunity to listen directly from private investors who invest in other people's projects, because these people don't come out and say, hey, you know, I want to invest in your property deals. I want to make you money. They don't do that. So I really want to say a massive thank you and show my appreciation to this awesome couple for joining me and sharing their insights and advice and stories today. And we're definitely going to do another interview. But in the meantime, this is one more thing that you can do to be the best version of yourself. And you know what I always say? If you're going to be the best version of yourself at just one thing, then you've got to be the best version of yourself at everything you do. My name's Tom Soane, and from Antoine and Karen and me, this is The Anonymous Landlord. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast. But before you go to the next episode, I really want to hear from you. Just search Tom Soane on any social media, or just email me, tom@pinkstreet.co.uk. I'd love to know your thoughts on this episode. And if you need any help with your own situation, just get in touch. I'll answer every email and every message, I promise. Anyway, see you in the next podcast. And remember, being a landlord is hard. Being an anonymous landlord is easy. Invest, enjoy, repeat, and grow.